Let's open our Bibles to the 100th Psalm. This evening, with the Lord's Supper as our focus and our goal and the backdrop to all we do, we are going to go from the tabernacle to the cross, and we're going to examine each of those pieces we've been studying in light of the cross of Christ, especially as we come to worship Him at His table. And we're going to alternate tonight between reading scriptures. Now, I know that when I surveyed you a few years ago, you have New International, New American, King James, and New King James. And so when we read the scriptures, I'm just going to be reading in the New King James. And if that's what you have, read real loud, and the rest of you kind of mumble, okay? I mean, just read it, but don't try and broadcast next to everybody else to get them all confused. But we are going to have a wonderful night tonight. The next slide shows us the wonderful picture of the tabernacle we have, and from the tabernacle to the cross in seven steps as we look at each of those objects. Let's remember in the next slide what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to teach us. First of all, He is the door of the tent. He said that in John 10. He said, "I am the door," and He spoke of the sheepfold and even greater of that great tent, which was the tabernacle. And then, next, He said that He was the Lamb on the altar. In John 1:29, when John the Baptist said that we should behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ was that Lamb on that brazen altar, once and for all sacrificed. Next, we see that His precious blood, as Peter says, we aren't redeemed with corruptible things. We're not redeemed with common things, with something you can buy, like an animal to sacrifice, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Next, we see that He was taken, His blood, into the holy place. He reminded us in John chapter 2, destroy this temple. He uses the word for the temple of the Holy of Holies. So Jesus not only was the doorway and the Lamb on the altar, His precious blood shed, but when the blood was carried in the tabernacle to the holy place, Jesus said, even that, I am even the Holy of Holies, where that atoning blood will avail. And next, we see that He went within the veil. And it says in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have, our hope of what Christ accomplished on the cross on our behalf, which is an anchor for our souls, both sure and steadfast, that enters inside the veil. So it's a picture of Jesus having taken the blood of the covenant into the very Holy of Holies, into God's presence, and having offered Himself as our atoning sacrifice. And when we are saved, He ropes us and pulls us from where we are in this world to within the veil. Well, that reminds us next that He went to another altar outside the gates of Jerusalem, and there became the Lamb of God, crucified, slain in our place. Let's worship Him tonight. In the next slide, we're going to begin at the gate. And the gate reminds us of the great 100th Psalm. So if you have that, Psalm 100, let's stand together, and we're going to read this in unison, and then we're going to sing a hymn to worship the Lord. And St. Leanne is going to pianoize our evening. We have 10 hymns. She doesn't even know what they are, and they're going to be up there, and she's going to find them, and we're all going to sing them. Okay, let's read together the 100th Psalm and read it to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You may be seated and get your hymn book, number 10, and we are going to worship our King together as we come into His presence. Let me get to the right one, at the tabernacle tonight. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth this evening. Now back to our Bibles, and let's turn to Revelation 5. At the next slide, we see that as we approach the altar, the brass altar, I remind you of little things. And remember, Peter, to the end of his life, kept saying, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. So I'm going to repeat all of these items so many times that finally you'll be able to do this tour all by yourself. Everything outside the holy place is made of brass, including the sockets that hold up all those posts all the way around that tent. There were 100 of those 100-pound posts that were set in solid brass, brass speaking of judgment, of fiery judgment. And so everything outside the holy place, that altar, all of those post sockets, and that laver in the middle are all made of brass. That speaks of Christ's sacrifice. And in your Bibles, if you turn to the last book, Revelation chapter 5, we're going to read about what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us as he became the altar, the place where he bore our sins and took, and that's what brass speaks of, the wrath of God. And we're going to read together the 9th and the 10th verses, and you can read these two seated because someone told me it's very hard to stand up and sit down here and it makes their knees hurt. So we're only going to do it every other time, okay? Because I want to be kind to that teenager that was really worn out. Revelation chapter 5, and let's read together verse 9 and verse 10. And as you read this, someday, when you're actually saying this in heaven, you're going to look back and say, I remember how many times I looked forward to this moment. And now, it's kind of like some people, they plan and they prepare for their wedding and they do all the details. And finally, when they're standing up there, I see it happen as I stand on the stage so many times with people. And all of a sudden, it hits them. This is the real thing. What they planned and practiced and prepared for. That's what it's going to be like in heaven, because these verses we have read so many times. Well, let's read together starting in verse 9 of Revelation 5. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Let's sing to our Lord from the book of Revelation, hymn number 180. And we're going to sing this as if we were standing around the throne itself. And I know I say that every time, but when that grips your heart, you begin not singing for the people here. And you don't sing for the fact whether you have a good or bad voice, but you sing to the Lord and you offer it. I mean, you should practice letting those words actually come from the very depths of your heart as an offering. We didn't take a money offering tonight, but we're going to take a thank offering and a praise offering to the Lord as we sing these words, okay? So let's stand together as we sing number 180 and sing, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. Across the page to 210. We're going to remain standing for this one. I'll always remember old Silas Fox, a great 90-year-old, 58-year veteran missionary to India, who preached the gospel in Urdu and all the other dialects of India. And I remember he was blind and crippled, and they used to wheel him up into the big pulpit at Bob Jones University, and he would preach the Bible from memory, and when he'd get to the atonement, he'd say, remember, Jesus paid part of it, and you got to pay the rest, right? He said, that's the way you act. You always doubt whether you're going to heaven. You think you're too bad. He said, either Jesus paid it all or he didn't. Sing that, believing it, that Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Let's sing the first and then the final one to the Lord tonight. Amen. And you may be seated. And as you're seated, let's go to the laver now. And we're going to read about the laver in two of the verses that you should have marked many times. Hebrews 9:14 and Hebrews 10:22. And I hope that the next time there's some temptation that you yield to, some sin that you commit, that you'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said his blood can cleanse us from all stain, all sin, all deeply rooted defilements of the flesh. And therefore, we can, as these two verses say, know that we're cleansed and come boldly before his presence. Let's read Hebrews 9:14 and then flip over the page to Hebrews 10:22. Let's read together. Whoop, I got to get on the right page. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, verse 22 of chapter 10, together. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Turn with me to number 196. And let's sing as our testimony that fountain that's filled with blood that our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to cleanse us. We'll sing the first and the third verse. But 438 in your hymn books tell us that he will not cleanse us unless we ask him to. And he will not search us unless we invite him to. But when we do, ask him to search us and cleanse us. Make this your prayer. And so if we're saved at the wonderful brazen altar representing the cross, and we come confessing and seeking cleansing, then we can go into the holy place to minister, to worship, to offer offerings to the Lord. Our next slide shows us that holy place. And let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we find, starting in verse 19, the context for what we've already read in verse 22. In Hebrews 10, 19, we are characterized by entering boldly. Now, next time, Lord willing, when we get together, I'm going to start talking about curtains. Not about the drapes in your house. I'm talking about the curtains there. Did you know that there are three sets of curtains that make up the tabernacle? There's the entrance, 30 feet wide. Then there's that next curtain you see in the back there in the holy place, those four red panels. Then beyond that, there is what's called the veil. Now, that's a third curtain. They were all basically very similar. But when Jesus died on the cross, the back one got torn in half. None of the rest of them moved. Just the back one. You see, he didn't change the way people got saved. He didn't change the way you get into fellowship with him. He only changed those who were in fellowship to him who takes their message in. It used to be one priest went once a year. Now we get to come through the blood of Christ boldly at any time. That's what the new covenant's all about. The new covenant doesn't mean people get saved a different way. It doesn't mean people need less cleansing. It means we have direct, immediate, constant, open access to the very presence of God, not mediated by some high priest. Let's read these verses, Hebrews 10, verse 19. Let's stand again. And as we're standing, after we get done with this section, we're going to have the first of the elements of communion. So I'd invite all of our deacons and elders to come down after we do this reading during the next hymn. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Together. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hymn 262, and we are going to sing to our holy God in this holy place as our holy men of God come and prepare the Lord's table. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the cross upon which you, Lord Jesus, willingly offered yourself as our Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. I'm so thankful that my sin and the sin of each one of us here was placed on you because you died in the place of guilty sinners. For when we were still sinners, you died for us. You loved us even when we didn't love you. You gave yourself for me. And because Paul said that, we can echo with him. You gave yourself for me. That is our hope. That is our confidence. It's not whether we prayed the right prayer, the right words, the right number of times, with the right intensity or fervency in the right place. It's whether or not we are clinging solely by faith to you as the only hope we have because you gave yourself for me. We worship you tonight. We thank you for the bread that we get to hold in our hands that reminds us that you died in our place, that reminds us that you became our sin so that you might remove it from us. And for that, we give you thanks. In the atoning, in the beautiful propitiating, in the beautiful forgiving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, the men are going to pass the bread among you. As they pass the bread among you, I am going to be reading to you from the Scriptures about what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us in Hebrews chapter 10. And then we're going to have a quiet time to pray and sit before the Lord. It says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeated sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." That's us tonight. Let's quietly thank the Lord as we prepare to worship him through this communion. We thank you, O Lord, for this holy, awesome night. And we pray that as we continue through the tabernacle, that we will see the fullness of what your cross accomplished for us, especially because of your blood's cleansing, we can enter into this holy place and we can be illumined by the lampstand through your Spirit and the Word. And we can feed at the table on the bread of life as you nourish us. And we can offer the unceasing prayers that we are commanded to pray without ceasing. And then we can come boldly to the very throne, to the mercy seat, to that ark of the promise that you made to save and to keep us. Bless us this night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in the tabernacle, and the next place is the lampstand. And if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read another passage, and then sing a hymn. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. We're looking at the lampstand. And the lampstand is that wonderful provision the Lord gives us. Has oil in it, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. Has 66 individual parts, if you go to Exodus and count them, which speaks of the uniqueness of the one lampstand out of one talent of pure gold made in 66 parts and filled with oil, which is one of the most graphic, beautiful pictures of the Bible. One book written by God with 66 parts that's only understood by the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon God's children. What a beautiful picture. Let's read about that in Ephesians 1, and let's read together verses 17 and 18. Together, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know What is the hope of his calling? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And that becomes a prayer. And let's take our hymn books and turn to number 247. We're going to sing this through two times. The first time so that you can clear your throat and your mind. The second time that you may invite anew and afresh and in a completely life-altering way the Spirit of God. You can just say, Lord, any nook, any cranny that I've never given to before, I want you to have all of me. I have all of you. I want you, Spirit of the living God, to fall fresh on me and to flow through my life. So the first time, think about it. Second time, invite it. Okay, together, produce fruit from your spirit in marriages, in families, in the way some of our children respond to adults, to elders, especially to their parents, in the way that some of those parents respond to their children and to their husbands and to their wives, in the way we look on our supervisors, our teachers, on the law enforcement officials, on our government, the way we would look upon the weak and the feeble, the handicapped and the less fortunate ones, and the way we don't look upon sin and hate it and don't laugh at it. O Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us and change us from the inside out. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. While you're standing, turn over in your hymn books to number 274. Isn't it amazing to be in such a quiet place in this world? And as they were eating, Matthew 26:26 says, Jesus took bread, very similar to this, unleavened bread of the Passover. He blessed it, as we have already invited him to do. He broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and that's what all of us are who are going to heaven. We're disciples of Christ. We are his followers, his learners. We are those who have entered his family. And he said to them, as he says to us tonight, take, eat, this is my body. Let's partake of it together.